Kim.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we are Two Girls in a Bible. And we're here with our friend, Devetta Kelsey.
For another episode of Victorious, our wonderful podcast, where we get to be raw, real, and relatable.
Ooh, relatable.
Relatable. And the great thing about our podcast is that we are actually get to share our testimonies and how God's truth, the Word of God, transformed our hearts. And so, again, we are here with our dear friend, Devetta Kelsey, and we are so glad that we get to call her friend. She actually blessed us this year by joining us at our annual conference, Flourish. And so we're thankful that you were there, Devetta. Yeah. We got so many reports back, right, Kim?
So many good ones.
Yeah, where girls said,
they were,
you know,
so blessed.
Your message was called My Days in the Dirt. Yes. Okay, that word spoke
to these
ladies.
If that is not raw and relatable,
come on.
I don't know what is.
We've all had days in the dirt,
you know,
Kim.
It.
So those,
you know,
ladies from crisis centers, I mean, me and Kim have had, I've never been in a, my life has been a crisis, I can tell you that. I may not have been in a center, but my life has been a crisis. And so we've all had days in the dirt, Devetta. So we are just so blessed and thankful that we get to spend this time with you and that our listeners and our viewers get to spend this time with you. So you just take it away, honey. We're here.
Amen. I thank God for you guys, Two Girls and a Bible, for inviting me. Anytime that I share the good news of Jesus is a good time to me. Amen.
Amen.
So, yes, I was at the conference, Flourish, and what an amazing conference.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing conference. This conference was like no other, so you don't want to miss next year. Amen. It's not a conference.
March 22nd.
Next year.
Same
we've already
place.
Got a date. Ocean Church in Cape Coral.
Amen. Please don't miss it, because I'm telling you, it's going to be a treat. This is not a regular conference where Christians just come and we just mingle. This is not one of those. This is where the captives are being set free. This is where people are being delivered. This is where minds are being transformed. This is a conference where we're really reaching the lost.
Amen.
So I want to encourage you, if you're a sponsor, whoever you are, you don't want to miss this. You want to be in on what God is doing. And maybe you can't make it, but you just want to sow a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to join us. Please join us. Hey,
yes,
I can't make it, but I would like to sponsor. So many tickets. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this.
Praise God.
Okay? Okay, so yes, I talked about my days in the dirt. And when we're talking about days in the dirt, so many times when we do testimonies, people tell you about what God is doing, the great things he's doing in your life. But there have been many days as a believer on this side of Christ where I felt like, God, where are you? When are you going to respond?
Mm-hmm.
I had my moments where I questioned, God, are you even hearing me? Are my prayers going past the light pole? Or matter of fact, are they leaving this bedroom? I've had those days. Everybody gives you their testimony before Christ. Before Christ, I was this, this, and that. But listen, I have some testimonies that in Christ, I was still fornicating.
Mm.
In Christ, I still had days where I doubted God. In Christ, I had days where I didn't want to be a believer.
Mm.
In Christ, I had my moments where I cussed people out, got into fights. In Christ, I did these things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you just, it's more than just going to the altar. God does life with you. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you every day of your life. The Bible says that his word comes in and it transforms us, but it takes time.
Yes.
So when I want to talk about my days in the dirt, I want to know that nobody gets here overnight.
Mm-hmm.
This
so
is
true.
A process
is
of
a
sanctification.
Process.
We are living this thing out. Who I was 20 years when I first encountered Christ is not who I am today. And what I got away with 20 years ago, Devetta, I cannot get away with today. So I hear you, girl. We've all been there.
And when I first came to Christ, came to him, everybody said, oh, this is your husband. He was my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
We were dating. I wasn't sure if I wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he knew he wanted to be with me. But I had to figure this thing out. I was used to sugar daddies. I was used to, you know, sponsors. You kind of, I tell you this, you give me what I want. And when you first come to God, it was just like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every prayer I prayed, he just did it just like that to build my faith.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went on, he stopped responding.
That's so good, because he met you where you were.
Mm-hmm.
He meets us in the dirt. He formed us from the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not afraid of dirt. He's not afraid of the ugly. He's not afraid, because he's already dealt with it. He hung it on the cross. That's why he took your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. Because he could deal with the flesh. He hung the flesh on the cross. So there's were no surprise to him. So I love, Devetta, that part of your story is that he met you there. That he treated you the way you expected men to treat you in the beginning. So talk about that. Talk about how it flowed from that to a little more intense.
So when I first gave my life to God, I was at my boyfriend's funeral, and I decided, hey, I'm going to get saved. So it was something that the prophetess told me. She said, it's either hell or holiness. I didn't quite understand the church lingo. I didn't know what she was talking about. But one thing I had made up in my mind, that this man's death, my boyfriend's death, I knew that I was going to live. I did not want to be in that casket. I knew that it was a strong possibility that this could have been me. It should have been me. But one thing I did know, that I wasn't going to die that day. So I chose life. And I think that's what we don't understand. Mm. Choosing Christ is choosing life. I chose to live.
So good.
But what I didn't understand is that a part of me had to die. So as I was going in this new life, I came to a new city. I didn't know anybody. And guess what? God didn't just lay it all out for me. Mm-hmm. I came to a friend's house that I trusted. Woman of God waking me up 5 o'clock in the morning, telling me, woman of God, it's time to pray. I'm like, pray? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. Your God ain't going to be there at 9 when I wake up. It's not time to pray, honey. It's time to sleep. I need to rest. Good.
Your God ain't going to be there at 9.
Yeah, I was coming down off. She didn't know I had been on cocaine for 14 days. Mm-hmm. I had been on ecstasy up. I hadn't slept in 4 days. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to just rest. Mm-hmm. This is why it's so good when people come to Christ that you give them time, that you don't just force everything on you. You don't know that I'm actually going through withdrawals, you know. I'm withdrawing from the life I knew. I'm withdrawing from the friends I knew, the environment I knew. Everything about me now, I'm in a whole nother place. I'm in my own Egypt. I just left Egypt. Now I'm in my own wilderness.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a wilderness experience. I done crossed 75. I-75, that was my Red Sea. Mm-hmm. You know, the children of Israel had a Red Sea. I had I-75. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're on I-95, I-10, wherever it is. Sometimes God got to take you to a new place to deliver you.
And I-75 runs between Miami and Southwest Florida, which is Fort Myers, in case any of y'all didn't know that.
Yes, I have.
So Miami is way different than little old Fort Myers.
Yes.
Just FYI.
But it's peace. And that's what I wasn't used to. I wasn't used to the silence. I was used to the noise. So when I came over here and everything was so silent, except for the house I went to a Christian house that was loud. But at the time, I thought, hey, this is what I need. Is it still better than where I was? You know, at least I'm not on the streets. But long story short, I ended up homeless. And my first day at the shelter, I broke. I said, this can't be God. Because when I heard people testify, they always talked about how good God is and that the joy of the Lord. And they testified all these great things. And I said, wait, my life is getting worse. This can't be God. And the woman at the shelter, she checked everybody in. She put everybody to bed and they told me to sit. I said, ma'am, I've been sitting here 2 hours. She said, I got something special for you. And she gave me and my son our own little apartment. It was like a little studio. But guess what? I wasn't going to stay there. If I had to share a room with somebody, I was like, I'm not sharing a room. God, this cannot be your plan. Your plan's too small for me. I was thinking something like a condo in the sky, like the Jeffersons. This is not what I had in mind. I'm telling you, this is not going to work for me. And I think that a lot of time we're not realistic with people. We tell you that trust God, it's going to be okay. Sometimes everything got to tear up. God got to tear up some stuff because your foundation ain't right. He got to get a sledgehammer. He got to go in the ground and uproot all that stuff that you've been carrying around for years. Yes. 14 years, I lived a life of sex trafficking, slavery, drug abuse, abortions. So God had to come in and uproot all that stuff. Malice. I hated the woman who gave birth to me. You know, so I had a lot of trauma, a lot of still people that I hated, and you know, just things that I hated. Even my son and father. And I'm like, how could you hate a man now that I'm delivered? I'm like, how can I hate somebody that look exactly like you? This is crazy. But I did. It was the time I did. You know, and it's
for our listeners. You talked about the wilderness. How long did you wander in that wilderness?
14 years. One thing about God, he is strategic. From the time I was 14 years old, I believe that God said 14 years later, hold up, devil. You're not going to beat me at my own game. She got a praying mother at home, a praying adopted mother at home. And now heaven has heard her request. And one thing about prodigals, we always go home, right? We got to come home. And I remember I called my mom from the shelter and I said, Mom, I'm in a shelter. I said, but I gave my life to the Lord. And she began to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. She was like, I knew you'd come home. I said, no, Mom, I'm not home. I'm in a homeless shelter.
So tell me about what your mom said when you called her on the phone.
She was like, I knew that you would never come back home to me. But I knew that one day you was going to make it back to your father. Okay. And she was like, and that's what matters. She was like, baby, you remember your favorite story? And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, The Lion King. You always liked The Lion King. And I said, yeah. She said, I always watched that movie and it gives me hope. I knew that one day you was going to realize who you was.
Ooh. So you had an identity crisis.
Yeah, so the home that she wasn't talking about wasn't her home. It was with him.
And here I am thinking in my natural mind, she talking about I made it back home, and I am homeless. Where is this
but
big God?
But she was talking about your heavenly home.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, where is this big God? Where is
But in the meanwhile, Mom, can I come? Can I come home?
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. But she told me, she said, God has a plan for you. Oh. And I'm like, it involves being homeless?
Oh, my.
And that day I went back to, I was still in the homeless shelter, but we had our own like efficiency, and I went in there and my counselor came in there and she was like, how are you doing? I was like, okay, I got a job. She was like, wow, these girls been here weeks and they haven't found a job. I was like, yeah, I got the first job. I walked in. I'm not seeing God. She was like, you got the first job? I was like, yeah, I walked down the street to that Marshall's and they hired me. And let me tell you, it was crazy how I even got the job. I never had filled out an application. The lady was like, you know how they put sex on the application, your name, sex, male, female. They put sex, I put yes. The lady called me in. She was like, why did you put yes on the application? Because we don't know, when people come off the streets, they need to be taught almost everything. Even things that you think are simple are not simple to them.
I would have never thought
so. So I'm thinking this is this whole Marshall's is a scapegoat, but it's really sex trafficking going on in here. They talking about sex. It's not registering in my mind at the time because I'm coming down off drugs.
I've
only been here 3 days. No, 13 days. That was day 13. But I'm still going through withdrawals. I'm still having all these thoughts. I'm still grieving my dead boyfriend. I got so much going on. I don't even know the days of the week. That's how traumatized I am.
Right.
And so, like, I'm having all these emotions. I don't know if I want to stay. Because when you first come to God, your mind is not made up. You have to tell him yes every single day.
Again and again.
I had to say yes all over again. So these were my dark days. These were the days where I had no sisters in Christ. You know, I had nobody. These was the days I had to walk alone, just me and God. And God had to put in my mind, I had to choose him every day. When I felt like I needed to drink, I had to say, God, I want you. When I felt like my body wanted sex, I had to say, God, I want you. Even though I told God one day, because one thing I remember when I was a little girl, my mom used to say, tell God to allow the words of your mouth to match the meditation in your heart. And so I started asking God that in the shelter. God, allow the words of my mouth to match the meditation in my heart. Because sometimes your mouth will speak one thing, but your heart don't feel it yet. And I wanted my heart to line up with what God says. So I had to tell, I had to convince myself that I wanted this God. Especially this God that I thought was failing me.
And I know there's a lot of viewers out there that feel the same exact way. They may not come from the same background, but it's the same story. You know, because we all have to make a choice. I know in my life, I had to make a choice, and I was raised in the church. But I walked away from the church, and I did my own thing, and I did it as a test to God. I said, okay, we'll see what you can do. They say that, you know, as you progress, your life will begin to spiral. Well, it took 4 years before my life began to spiral, but then he took me back from the day that I said that. My life began to spiral that day. And so as we walk, you don't have to be, we all have our own dirt that we wallow in. And, you know, I had to make a choice of, okay, God, I choose you. I don't choose these pastors. I don't choose anybody. I choose you. I want to follow you.
And I really honestly feel like, and there's a scripture that backs me up. I know there is. I just don't remember what it is right now. But I really believe that once you have an encounter with Christ, it's like you can't deny him. You can only get so far before he pulls you back to him. And that's through the suffering in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, he never let, when he promised you, I will never leave you nor forsake you, mm-hmm. and that I will be with you till the very end. Mm-hmm. That means the end of my life. He is never going to give up on me. No matter what I do, he is going to be there.
Yeah.
Now, can we make choices and choose other things and other people and have a miserable life? Absolutely. We have free will.
We
absolutely have free will.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we can only get so far before his love pulls us back to him. Because it comes out of Ezekiel 36. Actually, Ezekiel was sent. He was a prophet that went into the Babylon, the nation of Israel. They were in Babylon. They were exiled. And he was sent to them to tell them all the promises that God was going to pull them out of exile. And the word says that in that moment when Ezekiel delivered the message, the Israelite people began to examine their hearts. And they felt so much shame because God was so good mm-hmm. to them. Right. And they were worshiping other gods. They were doing all kinds of filthy things. You know, people be doing filthy things. We all do filthy things, Devetta.
Some strange things.
But God, his love, he was so good to them that he wove them back into relationship mm-hmm. with him. And I believe that's what he does with us. He knows how to woe us back with mm-hmm. his love. I say it like this: God never beat me into relationship with him. He loved me there. He never beat me so that I would obey him. He loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to obey him because his love is so good.
Mm-hmm. But what I had to learn about even his love is that even though if it hurts, it works.
I had to learn. Oh, wait a minute. Even though it hurts, it works. She's
because
got more one liners.
Your love, you make it sound so beautiful. But I want people to know that even when you feel forsaken, he still loves mm-hmm. you. Even when you can't feel his presence, he still loves you. Because mm-hmm. Jesus had an experience with him. When mm-hmm. he was on the cross, here Jesus was, came from heaven, the Son of God. But even he questioned God.
Ooh, yes.
Have thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. Where are you, God, in all this? All my pain and all my suffering? Because Jesus was having a human moment.
It's true.
He was saying, where are thou?
It's true.
Forsaken me? Because there's going to be times in your life where the pressures of this world and the hits and the things you're going through, your own crucifixion, it's going to feel as if you can't even feel.
Breathe, yes.
I can't hear him anymore.
Yes.
I've had moments and days where I heard people say that he was good, and all I could think of, well, why isn't he good to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was being processed. This journey is not going to be easy. Every day milk and honey.
Yeah, no.
There are going to be some days where they're going to give you vinegar instead of water.
Yeah. Yeah,
those days happen. There's gonna be some days where you're gonna get a piercing your side.
Absolutely, and I correlate that with the process of sanctification,
mm-hmm.
because when things are going amok in my life and all hell is breaking loose, right? And I can't get out. It's been 3 days and I can't get out of bed because of everything that I can see. When the Lord told me, Jennifer, sometimes people see that when their house is on fire, they notice it when they see smoke. Sometimes people will notice the house on fire when they see flame, and they'll go over and put it out. But Jennifer, you don't notice your house is on fire until half of it's burnt down. That was so hard because he was confronting me about my home, which I was anointed to build. But I was making mistake after mistake after mistake. I thought, oh, God's got it because I'm in ministry. You know, that's not a big deal because I'm working for the Lord. God will take care of that. No, God will take care of that through me.
Yeah,
I had to learn to be a present parent.
Yes, because we hear that you take care of God's business and he going to take care of yours.
Mm-hmm.
But what about when yours feel like it's been neglected?
Mm-hmm.
You're the intercessor of your home. You're the prophet of your home.
Yeah.
If the prophet never come to your home, what you going to speak?
Yeah.
What you going to... Listen, I was beating my son one day getting ready to spank him, right? Because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to spank the children.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day I became a soft parent.
Because
a lot of people see me and you think I'm this hard parent. But I really let kids do whatever they want to do.
Because
they don't bother me. And I have one rule. If it don't bother me, if they burn in the house down and I don't say nothing, don't you say nothing. Because you get on the other side of my door. Those are my rules. I don't really spank kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a soft parent.
Just so you know, if I'm ever in your house and it's burning, I'm just going to walk out.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Just don't bother the kids because they have to feel safe.
I will not
somewhere.
Say a word to the kids. Okay, if they great job. The juice, great fire.
If they drop the juice, it doesn't bother me. They drop the juice.
Just clean it up.
I'm just going to clean it up.
That's
I'm not going to argue with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're kids. They do what kids do.
Yeah.
And one day I was getting ready to spank him, and I was frustrated with work and a lot of other things. Nothing wasn't going right. My finances was just in shambles. And I got ready to spank him, and the Holy Spirit said, stop fighting him and fight what's fighting him.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. That was good. The day that I decided to be the intercessor of my house.
Ooh,
that was the
good.
Day
and
I began to walk.
How many years was that? Since
that was 3 years after I had been saved. I was getting ready to be ordained the next week. And I decided to take authority in my own house.
Amen. Yes.
But you took it.
Yeah.
But it took time. And I think that's what a lot of people do. When you come to Christ, you go to compare yourself with the other one.
To other people, yeah.
With the other one next to you. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, well, God, I've been saved 6 months. I don't have the gift of tongues. You might not get them. They're a gift.
Yeah.
It's okay to be you. Mm-hmm. And it took me a long, I always was me, but it took me a long time to be comfortable with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I thought I never was good enough. I thought my dirt was never going to be rinsed off.
Right, yeah.
And then one day God asked me, what was the problem with the dirt?
Right.
Out of all the things I chose to create you from dirt. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem with dirt? And one day I was talking to Vern, and I was like, you know what? She said, sis, we got to get in the dirt with them. Mm-hmm. And I was no longer scared to get dirty. Mm-hmm. And I stopped saying things like, I'm going to the nations. I said, you know what, God? I'm going to the gas station.
Right.
I'm going to the Target. I'm going to the flea market.
I'm going to
be a prophet. I'm going to be a prophet at my job. I'm going to prophesy at my job. I'm going to lay hands on those that are sick with cancer and command it to be healed. Yeah. And I did that at my job.
It starts in your home, and it builds out to your job and then into your community.
Yeah,
and that's exactly how he was processing you to do that. It had to start in your home
before
you could do it anywhere else, really.
Yes, so you're right. You're so right about that, Kim. And what I didn't understand is God had to break me in order to make me. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that.
I understand that because that happened to me, too.
Yeah.
I had to be broken before
it's like
I
an
understood
egg.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. How you going to scramble the egg if you don't break it?
Mm-hmm.
Your life is like an egg. And I had another nursery rhyme because my mom used to like to read books. And I got challenged one summer to read a bunch of books. So I found the shortest books in the library, right? Because I was going to get this $200. Mm-hmm. It was like, if you could read 100 books, the first 50 kids. So I was slick. So I went and found all the small books. And there was a book called Humpty Dumpty.
Mm-hmm.
And it said it fell off the wall, and you know, all the king horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, God, that's how my life was when I first came to you. I was like Humpty Dumpty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people couldn't put me together. That friend I went to live with, she couldn't put me together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't up to the pastor to put me together.
Yeah.
You know, ended up in the wrong ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I ended up in a cult. Mm-hmm. I went through all types of different things.
Yeah.
But I didn't give up on church or God.
Yeah. That's right.
I said, God, when I first came to God the first year, I kept fornicating. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I went from having sex with multiple men to one man. So I was making progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took a woman in church one day to say, God is proud of you. You're making progress.
Yes.
She said,
celebrate those victories.
Yes.
Those small victories.
Amen.
Instead of looking at what is not complete yet, we have to celebrate those small victories like that. And I think that's amazing. From multiple partners to one partner to no partners.
It's so true.
To him being your partner.
But what I realized is in church, they made God almost feel unobtainable to me.
Exactly.
So you made it seem like he was on the 30th floor and here I was on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
The elevator was broke. There was no way to him.
Right.
The steps were closed. How am I ever going to get to this big God?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I realized is that God was in the dirt with me.
Yeah.
He left them on the mountaintop and came to see all about little me.
Yeah.
And when I realized he was the God that David spoke about when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley.
Yeah.
Everybody had a valley experience. Everybody had an experience where you felt as if God was not there. Mm-hmm. Elijah had it in the cave.
Yeah.
David had it, feeling deserted. You know, Joshua, everybody had their own experience like, God, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, y'all ain't hearing me. I'm always with you.
You cannot find a perfect story in this book. That dream that we idolize or that we talk about, that we're going to be that pie in the sky, it's not in here. It's not in here. I have yet to read a story that was perfect. And it's a history. This is the history book of our God. This is his love story to us to tell us that there is no dirt that is too dirty for him.
And now that he breathed his breath in dirt and he became man. And then nothing like when he created the woman. He had to put the man to sleep. I can't even let you witness what I'm about to create. And I believe that when God created Eve, he was looking at my face and saying, whoa, man. Yes. I tell you, he did something when he created the woman.
Yes.
You know, and everybody say, you know, well, why? You know, why do you feel like that? Because it's something about us with carriers. But sometimes we can carry other things that are not godly.
Yeah.
And so that's when God has to take those things out of us. And I'm so glad that God is patient, because he stripped the stripper. When I came to God in my dark days, I could not wear weave, because he was stripping the stripper. I still don't wear lace underwear and stuff like that. Why? Because it reminds me of my past. It's not a sin to you, but it's a sin to me. I have certain convictions. My convictions are not like yours. Your convictions are not like mine. Alcohol never was a thing for me. A drink ain't gonna do anything. People put me to sleep. It's never been a struggle for me. But cocaine was a struggle. Ecstasy was a struggle. Everybody has their things. But when we come to God, we have to know that it's a process.
That's so good.
I can't give you the manual on how God want to process you, because I wasn't there in the depth of your sin with you, but he was. He had angels assigned to your life saying, you're not going to overdose. You're not going to die like this. You're not going to die in a car with a serial killer in Miami. I dated the serial killer for 2 years. He did not kill me. He said when he was going to kill me, there was a bright light stopping him. I had another one that killed my friend in my place. Why? Because God had a plan for my life. Did that plan look pretty? No. Did I have days where I wanted to give up on being a mom, being a friend, being a sister? I had days where I lost my job. My bills were due. I had days where my cars got repoed. I had days where my lights was off. I had days where I didn't have any food. I had to get food stamps. And when they didn't come through, I had to go to food banks. As a woman of God, I went through these things. My life wasn't pretty, but I was being processed for the master's use.
That's right. My life wasn't pretty, but I was being processed for the master's use.
Trust the process.
That's so good.
And I think a lot of times we give up in the process because we say, well, this journey only supposed to took us 11 days, but it took them 40 years. You know why it took them now? Because they needed to be processed. So wherever you are, and maybe you have some days in the dirt. Maybe you're fighting to get your family back. Maybe you're fighting just for sanity and a peace in your mind. But I want to let you know that you can survive those dark days.
Yes.
You can live.
So,
I heard this pastor, R.J. Washington, say, to the uttermost, Jesus saves, and he wants you to live. I'm telling you, it may hurt, but it's working. It's working for your good. So I'm telling you, I didn't come to beat you up tonight, but to get you up. God saves, and God has a plan for your life. Survive those days and those dark days. Survive them. Live. Tell yourself, I'm gonna live through this. Nothing's gonna break me. If the enemy couldn't kill me then, he won't kill me now. Prophesy over your life. I'm gonna make it through this.
Praise God.
So that was amazing.
That was amazing, Devetta. Devetta, can you, we're going to wrap it up. And Kim and I will say a couple of words in just a minute. But as a final thought to the listeners, I think you just gave that, which was just incredible. That was so amazing. Couldn't even add to that. But we would love for you to pray for everyone that's listening and that can hear you and see you on video. Just pray for them right now.
Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, I come to you today, God, praying, God, for the digital disciples, God, those that have a trained ear, God, for my voice, God. I pray, God, that you would begin to penetrate, oh God. You said, he that has an ear, let him hear, God. I pray, God, that as this video goes up, God, those that have an ear for my voice, God, I pray that you would penetrate their hearts, God, penetrate their minds, God. I pray that you would totally set them free, oh God. I pray that the lost will be found. I pray, oh God, that the perverted will be delivered,
yes.
Oh God. I have a special anointing, oh God, to set captives free, oh God, those that were in sex trafficking, those that were born, oh God, with perversion, oh God, those that are caught up in perversion, oh God. I pray, God, that you would set them free, God.
Yes.
God, it's impossible for us to live holy until we are whole, God. Go into the inner deep parts of their hearts, oh God, and their soul, oh God. And I'm asking, God, that you would heal them, God. Make them whole. soul, oh God, for that woman that's struggling, oh God, with her identity, oh God. I pray, God, that you would make her whole, oh God, for those that have abandonment issues, oh God. Oh God, I'm asking, oh God, that you would heal them, oh God. Oh God, draw them closer, oh God. Father, and I pray, God, for those that were just like me, oh God, those that were bound by that spirit of whoredom, oh God. Oh God, I pray that you would loose them now in the name of Jesus, oh God. For those that are suffering, oh God, in silence, oh God, and scared to speak out, oh God. I pray right now, oh God, that they will cry loud, oh God, and spare not, oh God. I pray, God, that those, oh God, who are struggling, oh God, even in their finances, oh God, that you be the miracle, the Jehovah Jireh, that you are, oh God, and that you, oh God, will step in their lives, oh God. I pray for every single mother, oh God, that's doing it on her own, oh God, that is trying to survive through the week, oh God. I pray, God, that you would bestow blessings upon her and her family, oh God, that you would move in a miraculous way, oh God. And I pray, God, for those that are in those dirty places, God, those that are in low places, oh God, those that are battling depression, oh God, and oppression, oh God, and suppression, oh God, even for those, oh God, that have titles, oh God, but they can't say the dirt, oh God, that is mounted up against them, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you would loose them, oh God, and do what only a God can do, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh God, and I pray, oh God, even for those that are stagnated, oh God, in their gifts, oh God, I pray, oh God, for acceleration now, God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Help us to excel in every area of our lives, oh God. I pray, God, that this podcast, oh God, would go, oh God, into places, oh God, that will never go, oh God. I pray, God, that those that are listening, oh God, will be set free, oh God. Help them to be digital disciples, oh God, and share this message, oh God. I pray, God, that you be glorified, God, the enemy be terrified, oh God. And I pray, God, that we always remember, oh God, that you are the way, the truth, and the light, oh God. Oh God, and I thank you, oh God. I thank you for being God. I thank you, oh God, for the testimonies that are coming, oh God, from this ministry, oh God. I thank you, oh God, for the women, oh God, that are going to say, oh God, that I made it. I survived my days in the dirt, God. I survived the molestation. I survived it. God, I thank you. I thank you, oh God, for the soldiers, the spiritual snipers that you are raising up, God. I thank you for the intercessors, those that are going to pray until Christ is formed. I thank you, oh God, for those that will fast, oh God, so they'll last, God. I thank you, oh God. I give you glory. I lift the lifter on today, God. I thank you, oh God, that you are the miracle worker. I thank you, oh God, for transformation, oh God. I thank you for every sex worker that's being set free. I thank you for every pimp that's being set free, God. I thank you. I give you glory, God, that you're going to find thousands of children, God. Why? Because we declare it. We believe it, God. And by faith, God, I speak to the enemy, and I tell the enemy, Satan, I command you to loose God's children from sex workers. I can't command you to loose the women that are on the street selling their bodies. Satan, loose them now in the name of Jesus. The blood is against you. We rebuke you, Satan. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, that we have authority as children of God, God, and we walk in that authority, God. We thank you, oh, God, that none of our words shall hit the floor. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you that all of heaven is backing us up, God. We thank you, oh God, that you are taking them out, God. We thank you, oh God, that you are uncovering sex trafficking, oh God, all in our organizations, oh God. Those that think they're in high places, God, you're exposing them now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, for tearing down Satan's kingdom and building yours, God. I thank you, oh God, for uprooting perversion. I thank you, God. I thank you. Perversion is being cast out of our children. I thank you, God. I thank you. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How in the world? Girl, I feel like the glory of God fell in this room. I'm not kidding. I feel his presence. What? I can't even. I don't even know what to say.
What the Lord brought to my mind is that the enemy seeks to have us all.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he wants us to know this, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Yeah. And I'm a he in that world. Yeah, so greater is he in me.
Yeah, that's right.
Than the me that's in this world.
Exactly. The he that is in the world. Yeah. The he or she.
Yeah. So we just, wow. Like, Devetta, listen, when Devetta is around, like, I just get, like, I don't even know what to say. And you guys know, you watch this, so you know I have no problem talking. But when Devetta's talking, I just lose my mind. I'm like, it's gone. I'm just all into whatever she's got to say. But, Father, I just thank you, Devetta, for being here.
To God be the glory.
Yes, for sharing your heart and just being so raw and real and relatable. Like, breaking this baby down, so good. So you can actually find more information about Devetta. Devetta is actually working towards an organization called Rahab's Rehab.
Yes.
And we have been praying for this organization for 3 years. We continue to believe in what God has called Devetta to do and anticipate just partnering with you, Devetta, in whatever way we can to use our talents and our gifts to help support you in any way that we can. And I know that that God is going to get the glory. And this is such a beautiful vision because Rahab's Rehab is a 12-step program for prostitutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I am so excited.
There are some things we need to know. We need to know how to survive in this life.
Yeah.
You know, we need to know how to. It's going to start with our days in the dirt.
Yeah.
But homes are built from dirt.
That's
and
branches.
They have to know that they're accepted, that they're loved, and
that
they're worthy.
Loved.
And that they are worthy.
They're loved.
They are worthy. They are loved. They are seed.
They are seen, and they are heard.
We see you.
They are heard.
Seed grows in the ground.
That's right. I love it. Seed grows in the ground. Ooh.
It needs dirt.
It needs dirt. It needs dirt. So you can follow us. Please like, share, and subscribe.
Yes.
And tell your friends about the podcasts that are coming up on our Victorious podcast. Remember, there's other podcasts that are being birthed right from Two Girls in a Bible. Our heart is to share, to go and tell the stories that Jesus is writing on hearts today. Yeah. I don't know what God is going to do with this one over here, but he's going to do something. And we want to be the witnesses to be close enough around her to see it. Right, Kim?
That's right.
And with that, we have one more thing to say. You will
always have a friend with Two Girls and a Bible.